hello and welcome to the Weird Science DC Comics New 52 Review Podcast. How are you doing, Eric?
God damn it, why do you gotta ask me questions like that?
How are you doing? Are you ready to get into this?
Before we go on, of course,
this is Batman Volume 1, Court of the Owls, the New 52, first volume of Batman. It is a volume that did collect the first 7 issues of Batman. People have probably noticed already in the description of the podcast, we're going to do this in 2 parts. Now, we're not going to take 2 weeks between. We're going to put the next one out a week from now. So don't worry, we're not getting too lazy. Right. But we're going to do this in 2 parts just because this is probably the biggest trade of the New 52. I believe so. And really, it is the trade that and the issues that got me into doing what we do with the DC Comics. This was the first thing I ever had read a full story of and thought that it pretty much at that point blew my mind. And I know that a lot of times we see people now when they jump in a rebirth and the first thing they read, it blew their mind as well. And that's something that would be a common thing, right? You know,
the first thing you read. It's one of those things, too. Like, it wasn't one of the first things I read because, like I said, I came in late and the thing that really got me on was Earth 2 and shit like that. So I went around and I was picking up different things. And the first bit of Batman I read was that issue number 13 that got us into the death of the family. Then I eventually was able to pick up back issues when they weren't sold out and shit like that. And freaking check this whole thing out. I'm like, God damn, this is so good.
Yeah. Oh, it was so good. And when I was reading it, this was not the first thing I read. I told you I had read Frankenstein, Agents of Shade. I really had read a bunch of Aquaman, even Aquaman, again, by Geoff Johns at that point. It didn't blow my mind.
You actually started reading Talon before you read this.
Yeah. And I went and read this, and it was just so goddamn good. And it continued my love of the New 52 Batman. Eventually, I did kind of grow tired now and again. I still think it is one of the best, if not the best, runs in the New 52. One of the few runs that has, you know, Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo through the whole thing. They did the whole thing. Now, again, you have issue here and there, whatever. But yeah, I really, really liked it. And what got me when we getting ready for this, I went back, and it wasn't even like you would have thought this would have been the first week after Justice League. You would have thought Justice League would come out, and they're like, okay, let's go Batman. Even if you went like Batman, Superman, the next, whatever. This came out on the 21st of September. It was one of the last weeks of the New 52. Kind of, I mean, were they saving it to be like, oh, we're gonna get them with this? And you know, they wanted to tier things. There were tons of books. But it actually did shock me that they didn't come out right away with Batman, but it did come out September 21st, 2011, the first issue of this run. The trade came out May 9th, 2012. So a year later, the trade came out. And again, it is 7 issues. It's one of the few of the volume ones of the New 52 that did have 7 issues involved. But it is written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo, Jonathan Glapion, FCO, and Richard Starkings on letters, Eric.
FCO and Placencia?
It's just FCO at this point. I don't know if he changed or whatnot. And it's funny because I'm reading it as issues. And you had read it with the trade. You actually had gone through and read the trade. You have the trade.
I bought the freaking Court of the Owls Mask trade set.
Yeah,
I'm like,
you have the mask.
I finally opened it like this week so I could read this whole thing in the trade form because I just had it sitting there in my box like all proud of and shit. So I spent the last couple of days just wearing that Court of the Owls mask.
Yes, yeah, and it did. It came with that mask. Did you read today with the Court of the Owl mask on?
No, not today.
I
can't do it with my glasses.
Are you possibly doing the podcast with the mask on? It would be hilarious.
That would have been.
You do that, plus, like you just said, you wouldn't be able to goddamn see. Now, I will tell you also before we just get into it, too, talking about this, I have talked a lot about this story and a lot about the trade and a lot about things. It is definitely one of those where if you go back and read it a bunch of times, you do notice a bunch more things. Also, thinking back, because obviously this was 2011, I have not read it. Before we decided to do this podcast, I hadn't read it in a long while. And me and you had even talked and said, boy, you know, going back, Greg Capullo really refined his style and his skills throughout the New 52 because we thought, oh, you know, I remembered it being a little rough.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I don't know what the fuck I was remembering.
I was like a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, I actually pulled my individual issues out and was going through them. And like, I thought the same thing at that point because we actually ended up talking about this whole run and Greg Capullo's like, you know, him like really refining his Batman style. But no, look at back now. I'm we must have been high or something.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on. I guess I just thought of that. Maybe it's just that when he goes on, because while during our regular podcast, a lot of people like make jokes and stuff. We have a caller who claims he's Greg Capullo, you know, all that stuff. But he is awesome. He's so good. Yeah. And he has his own style, and I love it. And just going back to this, like we said, maybe it's just that he got so much better because, boy, I was reading these, and they looked awesome. But what I was saying is I was reading these as individual issues, and there is a bit of a change. We actually talked a little bit before we went on, and we were talking about something to do with Tim Drake. We'll get to that when we go get to that in the really quick as this goes on. But, yeah, Tim Drake, there's a little change they made from the actual first issue to the trade, which is actually kind of interesting, but makes complete sense, right?
Yeah, for what they ended up doing in the long run, the New 52.
Yeah, so the book opens up, and you have a thing that actually ends up being Scott Snyder's tie-up of the New 52.
His bookends.
The bookends of this Gotham is, in quotes, and it's Bruce talking, and he's saying, every Saturday, the Gotham Gazette includes a small lifestyles piece called Gotham Is. And it goes on and says, they have a thing where each week you write in using three words or less, you say, what Gotham is. And he says this has been going on since he was a little boy, and he seems to take notice of this. I think it's because he's a pretentious prick and wants to see how many people say Batman, because even later he says when they do say Batman, kind of privy to that, not privy, I'm kind of down with that or whatever. But it goes and it says people describe Gotham as damned, cursed, bedlam, murderous. And this is the start of really Scott Snyder. If you talk about his run of Batman, Gotham is probably the third most important character in this book, if not the second behind Batman. He really is.
I'd say so.
Yeah, he really is concentrating the whole run on how Batman's relationship to Gotham, how Gotham, even that whole thing of quote unquote my father's city, things like that. Because
that's
in this,
what makes it's kind of funny with that whole thing out, because he spends so much time during the New 52 to like just like saying what Gotham is and the relationship to Gotham to the rest of the people. Listen, so when he does the All Star Batman, one of the things is, look, I spent so much time in Gotham, Batman's going to be out of Gotham this entire run.
Yeah, because he is really in Gotham. Now, the other thing, and I really am pissed off at myself, and I actually apologize to you, Eric. I apologize to everybody listening to this New 52 podcast, because I really dropped the ball on something that I wanted to do. We have never pointed out in the first two we did Justice League and we did Animal Man. We never pointed out where Pandora was in the issues, and I really wanted to do that. I really wanted to go through and look. I forgot about it too until I actually, and this is where I was saying, when you go through these issues more than once and you keep getting ready, you notice some little things. Finally, Art, because I'll tell you, I'm a dummy when it comes to finding stuff like that.
I found her.
She's in the first page pretty much. Yep. It's the Gotham is. She is
with
there
a bunch of hobos
hanging out with some hobos.
Fire.
Yep. It's awesome. But even on that page, you go up from her, you page up, there's owls on the buildings. And it's like everything kind of like right there in this first little thing. You get Pandora, you get owls on the buildings. It's really cool setup. And really, the whole thing makes it look like Gotham not only is run down as hell when he's talking about the damned and cursed, but it also just gives you that idea. It is an old city. It's an old city with a lot of history, a lot of things going on, and that really plays into what this story is all about with the Court of the Owls. But yeah, you go on, he's talking about this, and then the next page is probably one of, to me, is such a great page, and to me, this is like the New 52 Batman page that I love, even though I don't like all of the characters. Basically, it's all the villains in Arkham. He is in Arkham now, going against all his villains. I don't like all of the things. Black Mask, I hate. Said you were questioning how Riddler looks and things like that. You even have Flamingo in the background there. It's hilarious. But yeah, there's a lot, and you even said there's a lot of Grant Morrison stuff going on with these villains. They're, calling out.
Up until this time, we just had the Grant Morrison run right before
that's
this,
what
where
I
he
think
had all
that
his
is.
Fucking strange-ass villains showing up. So we have to, we're showing homage, not homage as much, where we're saying this is a continuation. Batman has kept his continuity pretty much as we're going forward to this number one issue.
And I think it's great. And, I think that how you play this out is you have some classic villains, but you also have a lot of the stuff that they just dealt with in the Batman book, Batman and Robin especially, right before the New 52 started. So I think that is a pretty nice homage. But like you said, it also shows the continuity still there. You also have Clayface is busting through the door on the far left, and then you have the sock puppet looking Scarface.
He looks like the ginger dead
man. It's so funny. He does. He's peeking around. Yeah. I really like that. But yeah, and it continues, and Batman keeps saying Gotham is villainous. Gotham is a losing game. Gotham is hopeless. And there's Batman's going to now just fight through all of these villains. But he says, you know, once in a while, some people mention a villain. And he says, usually some teenager going for shock value. And as he's punching these guys, he said, you know what? Sometimes, though, it kind of makes sense. And he says, he's punching Two-Face, just disgusting here. And he's punching him. He's like, you know, for example, Gotham is Two-Face, meaning Gotham is a city at odds with itself. Then
is that a weird thing, though? I was thinking about this, too, because he's punching Two-Face on the good side because
yeah.
I don't think I'd want to punch him on the fucked up side. I think I want to punch him where he looks normal and I don't have to see that
it's
goddamn
so funny. He's
face.
You see it lines up and he's actually got the shot on the shitty side and he runs around him, punches him. But yeah, then it says, or Gotham is Killer Croc. And I said to you before, I'm like, who is writing in and says Gotham is Killer Croc? Who would be that?
I'm telling you, Vicki Vale is doing, like, I can't even say Vicki Vale because that doesn't work for the paper like that, but somebody's like, all right, we need to do this Gotham. Let's go interview some people. Hey, sir, what's your name? Waylon Jones? what do you think Gotham is? Well, Gotham is Killer Croc, I think.
Like, man, that guy's ugly. He goes, that one person wrote in, and it's Killer Croc who wrote in. But yeah, it goes on. You have Mr. Freeze. I've seen a few Mr. Freezes, two black masks. And I don't like that look of black mask. Now, on the side, we were told by
Mo Howard haircut.
Yeah, we were told by Scott Snyder at one point that they were told at the beginning of New 52 to kind of go and take some classic characters and turn them into something different, whether a look or an origin story, and that we do get later on a Mr. Freeze kind of made up new origin that we hated. But this Mr. Freeze looks great. I like the way he looks.
Well, it's even funny to me, though, because we have this Riddler here, and like I believe Scott Snyder has come and said that Riddler is his favorite bad guy, and we had the whole thing with Savage City during the Zero Year thing where, you know, Mr. Freeze has his classic look. Here he is like a bald-headed dude with a fucking, you know, a goddamn like a mask around his face, you know, like almost like a I want to say a domino mask, but it's like a headband around his fucking eyes with the eye holes.
Yeah, the Riddler.
But he's got freaking like question marks tattooed on the side of his head, and he's got a big old like Riddler freaking like a question mark.
Yeah, he's got a Riddler question mark. Now, I would
like
guess
a mohawk.
It's funny because what I would say is there's a lot of these guys. Now, Mr. Freeze doesn't fit what I'm going to say because Mr. Freeze is in his, you know, cryogenic
suit.
He's in the containment suit, which Batman punches and shatters his helmet, which is no good. But, yeah, he's in trouble. But the other guys, I'm going to go fully with that they really tried to get their own look while in Arkham. I don't know why they're allowing this, but even at you have Professor Pig.
Oh, yeah.
He has the thing.
Professor.
He has and the makeshift pig mask. You have, say, Black Mask, like we said. It looks to me that he has face painted himself, though all he had was white, Eric, but he did that, so I would wonder.
Shoe polish?
Yeah, that, I guess he couldn't, Eric. You don't allow that. But even as you go on, you even have what we would think is Scarface is a made-up thing. He has buttons for eyes and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm just going to guess that Riddler is in Arkham, and in the meantime, those aren't tattoos. He has gotten a pen and put them there, tried to do this, and then just shaved because they all wanted to get their look. You know, they wanted their identities while still
I like that Professor Pig one because it really just looks like a pillowcase.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, fucking,
I
like,
love that Professor
pink,
Pig.
Or a pink pillowcase.
And I like he almost has the my name is Professor.
Yeah.
Prof. But yeah, as it goes on and Batman's talking about this and beating the shit out of all these villains, and there are some cool ones, and they're not really spelled out. They're just thrown at you. And he says, you know, lately I've seen a couple new names, you know, old and new, and you see Clayface, you see what I think is Wesker at that point getting hit, you see that Black Mask is still upset for being punched in the face, but then the new, when he says the new, you get a guy who's there with glasses on reading a book in his cell just as this is going on, and it is it's James Gordon Jr. His face is, you know, blacked out, so you
this
don't see.
This was the biggest problem to me, because at first, the way it's blacked out, because it's a lot of, like, heavy lines and shit like that, really, at first, I'm like, which one of Batman's villains is a wooden face?
Yeah, I know, it was just, weird.
Like, a stylistic choice, so I'm like, but okay, yeah, we both James see. Gordon Jr.
And the glasses are a tell. Now, I will say, going forward, you might remember, it's funny that what he's doing there, reading that book, is actually something that Gordon did himself a bit during that Batman Eternal. When he was arrested and put in, I think he was in whatever prison he was in, Blackgate. And there were times, I think there was a riot kind of going on, and he was just in his cell reading a book. And I thought, I don't even know if that's a call out. But, and then in the meantime, we had a little discussion here, because all of a sudden, somebody comes from behind him. It's a sumo wrestling looking person. Now,
so
there is
sumo.
There is a character, Sumo, that kind of looks, and some people are calling out that this is Sumo. Well, I don't know, unless maybe not even Scott Snyder. And he's pretty particular in what he shows and doesn't show, but really, Greg Capullo might be the guy to see who does this, even if he's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. But it's either Sumo or Big Top. Now, the problem is Big Top's a woman, but Big Top is a woman who's very hairy, and the thing, it looks like Big Top, but it also looks like Sumo. So
it could be either one of them motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm telling you, because I've looked up pictures of Big Top, and like I put Big Top Batman. This picture shows up. I put up Big Top Sumo and Batman.
Yeah.
This picture's shown up.
Yeah, and the funny thing,
I've looked at other pictures of them individually, and I'm like, they could be fucking twins.
Yeah, they could. And the thing is, I thought I'd cracked the code and said, no, Eric, you're right, because Sumo there is wearing a wife beater and has a hairy chest. And then I look, and that Sumo usually – or not Sumo, Big Top. Big Top usually wears a tutu that the top looks like a wife beater and has a hairy chest. So I'm like,
you thought I was right at one point. And you sent me a picture. I'm like, you know what? I think you're right now. So we're back to square one.
Yeah, we're back to square one now. Sumo ends up throwing Batman through pretty much a door, window, whatever, into a cell. Now, as you're going on, and when this happened, when this, you know, first came out, I would think that most people were looking for one guy in particular and waiting for the Joker to show up. And he's not here yet. Now, there is a girl laughing, which I do think is Harley.
I believe so now, too.
Yeah,
it's just weird having, like, the brown hair there.
It is. And the other thing is, with Harley there, she wasn't in books at that point. You didn't have a solo book, so this would have been like the first Harley that we'd see for a little bit. But you have Harley there laughing, and that's where Batman's in a cell. And also on the cell, one of the beds, it's I Was Here Twice. You think Two-Face was in that cell at one point?
You think that immediately, but Joker has his own cell, so I don't know.
Yes, that's what's weird. It made me laugh, but I'm like, why would he be there unless they just – it's kind of pushing the fact that they're always getting out and being put back in. And at one point, that was Two-Face's cell, and now it's the Joker's. But really, he usually has his own cell going, but it is his cell. And the dialogue here, and I just want to point out, too – the dialogue is great in this whole, you know, the whole part that we're doing. I really like it. But here with the Joker, I thought it was really great. And when it twists around into you seeing what really is going on, it makes me laugh. Should we reveal what's going on before we go on? It's Dick Grayson. He has the EMP. Is that what it's called? The EMP suit that ends
EMP
up being
mask. Yeah.
Yeah, EMP mask, which me and you both loved. And we're mad.
We've
and
really
to this
gotten
day.
Away from that.
Yeah,
recently.
I think you mentioned it last
this
week.
Holographic freaking disguise.
Yeah, yeah. I think on our regular podcast, either this week or last week, you even mentioned it. And said, "Boy, I missed that EMP mask because it was really cool." But I love the fact that Dick is fully fucking really getting into the character and doing it, because as Batman comes in, you hear this, there you are, and here I was beginning to think you were going to die without even saying goodbye. And I'm like, and then
don't,
that's where
don't
Batman's
don't let that act, Dick. What don't happen to Heath?
Oh, it's so, yeah, really. I'm telling you, Jack Nicholson said and warned Heath Ledger that Joker character will fuck with you, and he was right. So, Dick, I'm wondering, you know, you better watch out, Dick. But it's funny, too, because the whole thing with Batman, especially in a lot of the big stories with them, it's always Batman and Joker. Like, when Batman says, you ready to do this, You get afterwards when you realize it's Dick, you understand, but it's perfect dialogue between the Batman and the Joker. That's why I really, really like this, because he's like, oh, he's so serious, fine then. And then they bust out and he says, let's cut to the punchline. And Joker just comes out and he's kicking people. You see Harley back off all scared. Wesker gets it right in the face. Scarface flies off him. And then you see Zazz.
Yo, Joker, what are you doing?
You turncoat. Yeah. And you see Zazz there. So you get a couple more. Then you get Phosphorus Rex in the next deal. But yeah, they're definitely helping each other at this point. So you don't know what's going on. With Clayface yelling turncoat, then you're like, holy shit. And again, I have to stress, this came out. This is a new run of Batman. So yeah, you don't know what's going on. So at this point, I think people might have been like, goddamn Scott Snyder, if you make Joker team up with Batman, I'm going to fucking kill somebody. And yeah, it twists around, because then they just beat the shit out of everyone. And basically the scene ends with them going. And then you have Batman and Gordon talking, and you find out what was going on in this whole thing was Batman was investigating a guard named Matthews, Dan Matthews, who was on the take. He was doing things. I believe that you're supposed to get the idea that a lot of these Gotham villains were escaping because of him. He was doing stuff like that.
At this point, the whole thing, when Batman was after Dan, and so Dan was running away, he opened up all the cells.
I'm just saying, when he was on the take, I think that he was worried that since he was on – well, I mean, what are you going to be on the take for? I think that this is him trying to get there before he does allow really a full scale, riot like that. Because you're on the take for some reason. Batman wouldn't just go in if the guy was on the take because he was smuggling cigarettes into somebody. You know, something big was going to go down that he stopped. But right away, I think that Scott Snyder shows you that this is a Batman that's pretty on the game. And I don't know. I know we have Dancing Mike on the regular podcast that hates Scott Snyder's Batman. I don't think everything that he says is here yet. Like the stuff that Dancing Mike doesn't like, because in just this little thing, Batman shows that not only does he know something that Gordon has no idea about, but knows this Dan Matthews seems to be a guy who, you know, Gordon thinks is a great guy and has known him since he was in the academy. And Batman knows that he's going to be getting a divorce before the guy's fucking wife does. I mean, he has investigated shit. Now, there's a weird transition when I was reading, because like, he and Belle are getting divorced, Gordon asks. I had no idea. And then Batman says, neither does she. And then Gordon's like, huh, who's the new pal? And I was like, what's he talking about?
I didn't understand that line at first. I'm like, huh, that's a weird thing to say, Gordon.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking about? But yeah, he's saying that he's dating someone.
Cocktail
at the
waitress.
And that's what I like. It's the Iceberg Lounge. It's a bad person. So this is somebody who now he has connections to Penguin, whoever it may be. Also, I have to say that this even starts that whole thing in this. You didn't see Penguin in there. And I think that that starts the whole thing in the New 52. He's not that villainous guy. He's just a crooked businessman more that I actually like. But we were saying this week, we actually missed the Penguin,
the old school jumping
out a window with a fucking umbrella.
Goddamn umbrella.
Oh, it'd be so good. Yeah, it'd be so great. But that's where Gordon's like, listen.
It's just, I missed the Burgess Meredith Penguin.
Yeah,
I
do too. But yeah, Gordon's like, you know what? I was looking at this footage. Looks like you're fighting with the Joker. You know, is that ridiculous? Yep, it's ridiculous. And then you go back to the Batcave, and there's Joker with Batman. And it's so crazy. That's where it's revealed that it's Dick. And Dick is all excited, like, hey, did I do a good job? Was I like him? And I like the line where he's like, Bruce says, are you asking me if you were convincing as a homicidal maniac? And then Dick's like, yeah, I suppose I am. He's like, yeah, you were pretty good. But then they go up. They're on
like
the way.
I like that, too, the whole thing where it's like the Alfred School of Theatrics and shit like that. Because Alfred
is giving
some pointers on how to become the character.
Yep. It's so awesome. And it's it goes with the training and whatnot. Now, in the meantime, there's also the thing that he spells out that Batman has a new bit of tech. And there's a lot of new tech in this issue and in this trade, because one of these is an implant, kind of a corneal implant, it looks like, a contact lens, actually, that actually gives him a remote bat computer. I think it's awesome. This is another thing that they got away from.
Well, that and the whole freaking the freaking hologram kind of.
Oh,
lab,
I love that.
You know, for the morgue and shit like that. I'm like, that was such a cool idea.
Yeah, when we go on, there's the holographic morgue, and it's even spelled out. Then when we get to that they say like, huh, you know what? That does save a lot of problems going back and forth and sneaking in and things like that. But I did like it. But as this is going on, it's one of those funny things. It's like Batman and Dick just freaking beat the shit out of everybody in Arkham just to go back and freaking go and have this big this press conference about what Gotham is to Bruce Wayne. I thought that was pretty cool. But before, you get to see Tim and Damian, and I love the art. I love the way Damian looks, and Bruce looks
great. I like the
way
everybody looks. I'm sorry, for some reason, it's especially Dick Grayson, for whatever it is. I think Greg Capullo does such a great goddamn Dick Grayson.
Yeah, yeah. The only thing, I wish that Dick was a little bit taller, only because Tim's like almost up to him, and I just think that he'd be a little taller, but that's a nitpick, Eric, because as this is going on, I said to you when I was talking to you at work when I was reading this that I thought that this was a pretty cool thing, because you want to introduce the characters, but instead of just having a comic booky, you know, placard there with it, it's actually the heads-up display of the Bat Computer
Cornea.
Yeah, it goes
along with what we're just talking about, this new Bat-like computer uplink in the freaking contact lens, and it's great
because he's testing it out now. Yep.
Throughout the gala as well that he's having the press conference, and we're like, you know, it's just going through and it's telling us who everybody is with the facial recognition.
And I love that. I think that's a pretty smart way to do it. Also, I like the way that it's Bruce Wayne doing it, and that's why he can schmooze through the crowd. He's just like, oh, Vicky Vale, how's it going? Oh, Lincoln Mine. Like, he knows everybody. They all think, boy, this Bruce Wayne, he's such a freaking, you know, a rich guy. He's Mr. Gotham. Look at him. But he knows my name. He gets it through that. But here's where it's changed in the trade. Because I was reading this as an issue. And as he's going down, you see he's looking at Dick Grayson. He's looking at Tim Drake and Damian Wayne. And you get the whole thing. Dick Grayson, former Robin, current Nightwing, access level high. Then it goes. I'll just go Damian next. It's Damian Wayne, current Robin, access level high. And this is where it's changed, because Tim Drake on the actual first issue of the, you know, book, number one, it has Tim Drake, former Robin, current Red Robin, Teen Titans, member access level high, and they changed that for the trade.
Up arguing a little bit, because we've been talking to a bunch of people this week who are still arguing the fact whether or not Tim Drake was Robin.
Yeah, they were
Robin
talking about how many Robins there are, and they're using the technicality that really Tim Drake was never a quote-unquote Robin, because tell us why. I mean, there's a great reason why.
Later in the series, the whole thing is, you know, we see a little bit of backstory. Even I think it's the last issue of, you know, the Teen Titans before it was, like, redubbed to number one, like, reissued out. But it was the whole thing where Tim Drake, you know, he found out who Batman was and he became Red Robin because he didn't want to step on the toes of Jason Todd, who came before him. Yeah. He was Robin, and Tim wanted to be his own thing but still give homage to what came before without stepping on the toes.
Yes.
And at this point going in, like, we just started the New 52, I don't know if everything was, like, detailed out with what everybody wanted to do. So it's saying here, former Robin, current Red Robin. Yeah. But in the trade later on, they reissued everything and changed the stuff up. It just says Tim Drake, current Red Robin, Teen Titans. So they got rid of the whole Robin idea because he has always been Red Robin, but he was Batman's sidekick.
Yes, now that's the thing. Robin. That's the thing that I always thought was funny, because people would argue this, and we did get, you know, I would see arguments, I'd talk to people, and to me, you could call, like, since Duke has been spelled out and isn't really functioning as much as a Robin, I can see what you're saying with that, but really, Tim Drake was a Robin. He was just called Red Robin. But I know it's a technicality or stuff, but yeah, it was weird because I kept saying to you, I'm reading and I got my issues out, I'm going through, and I'm like, but Eric, it you know, he was a Robin. This really spelled it out. He was a former Robin. You're like, no, I don't. And you ran to get the trade again and went to look.
That's the thing, too, is that I always consider him a former Robin as well, just because I grew up, Tim Drake was my Robin.
That's what he is. He's a Robin, but, you know, it's more of a name deal. And like you said, I like the idea because Jason got killed. He didn't want to step on his fucking toes, and kind of, it's one of those, you know, it almost seemed at that point that the actual name Robin was kind of retired. This happens in hockey a lot. You go through stadiums and you'll see these numbers retire, and you're like, number two, Tommy Two Tone. I've never heard of that guy. Oh yeah, he died in a car crash in his third year. He was just a third line, second line defenseman who didn't do anything.
Tommy Two Tone played hockey.
He did. It was before his singing career, Eric. But yeah, you have that where it's a nice thing that they kind of look like because of Timmy retired the moniker of just quote unquote Robin. But he is the deal.
Still
the
Damian
only thing
Wayne came around.
Yes, yeah. And then Damian, and guess what? To me, It makes perfect sense, because Damian doesn't give a fuck about anyone. He's going to be Robin. I'm surprised he didn't call himself Dick Grayson. Just say, hey, I'm just going to be Dick Grayson. But in this, there is a weird thing in this as well, on this page, because Bruce comes out. He's getting his bow tie on and stuff, and he says, facial recognition, go. And then starts looking, and then Tim, who's supposed to be pretty much, to me, the greatest detective, he figured out who Batman is, goes, tell me he's not using facial rec for the party. I'm like, yeah, I think he is. He just turned it on. Like, why wouldn't he, Tim? It's just a weird thing to spell out again to make sure you know what is going
on. I think it works even better because of the great Joker day.
Oh,
the
it sets up the joke.
He seems to remember who you are, Drake.
Yeah, that is great. And again, people who love this interaction between the Robins that we even just had a little bit ago before the I Am Suicide deal at the Batburger, it's perfect. And there's Dick Enzing. That's great. If this would have been written now, he would have said sick burn. He might not even said that. I don't know what. Do people say yowza anymore?
Is that what they say? Of course they do. Everybody says yowza.
But yeah, and then Bruce is going in there.
I see this whole thing though, where all the Bat kids are freaking invited to this gala because it's Bruce Wayne's presentation and shit like that. Yeah. Which is kind of odd to me because I think at one point, I'm thinking of something different. Never mind.
Where's Jason though?
Jason Todd. I know he's out and about doing Red Hood shit, but. God damn, when is he ever going to become a real part of the Bat family?
I imagine, because this, they even say this was on in the newspapers, it's on television, it's all over. I just imagine Jason Todd watching this with a single tear going down his eye. He just sees it, though. They're like, we didn't see they had an editor's edition. I don't know if you ever saw this. Jason did show up, but he had the mask on, Eric, and they said, you're not allowed to do this. And he said, then fuck y'all, and left. He was in a tux with the mask. And they're like, you can't do that. We're here. But yeah, I even like the whole thing where, again, it's Scott Snyder setting up everything that goes forward from here and what you know and don't know. And you have Tim who then says, and you call yourself a detective to Batman. I really thought that was a cool thing to say. But then basically, Bruce is having a press conference. I'm not going to go through in detail what he's saying, but he's basically saying about that Gotham as it continues that. And basically, he wants to put his money where his mouth is. He's, looked at as still at this point, you seem to think he's that playboy guy who has a lot of money and doesn't get involved in shit, because I'm sure by now, how many times did people come to him and say that they want him to be mayor, he should be this or that, and he doesn't because he's Batman, but he can't say that. But he's telling them, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, I want to build up Gotham and I want to make it the new Gotham. And he shows this holographic vision of what Gotham is already, and then these buildings that he's going to build. Now, you have read The Monster Men, correct? Does this not look like those buildings that eventually
the towers?
Yes, it's the towers that ended up being the thing that shot down the Monster Men, that turned into those mecha gun things. And I thought that was actually a really cool thing, now that I see it, that this was the beginning of that, because he's going to build it. And even Alfred says them when he goes down, everybody's clapping because, oh my God, he's going to put all this money into Gotham. And Alfred's like, and Alfred's talking a little loose-lipped here, though, because there's Bruce, and he just goes right behind him. Though you failed to mention the new bat bunkers you'll be building throughout the city. You're like, this was a great secret club we had once, Alfred, you fucking idiot. Especially because it looks at that point, Vicky Vale is right next to them. Fucking Alfred.
What we just had in the Brave and the Mold story in Batman, though?
Yeah.
It's like we were on the 84th floor of that goddamn tenement. Yeah. What is this? These towers he's making, 1,000 goddamn
floors? That's what I'm
floors?
Saying. They're 8,000 floored things. And there's no way.
Gigantic.
There's no way a rundown Alan Moore looking motherfucker's living in any of these. There's no fucking way. But yeah, I don't even want to get into that goddamn nonsense. But I did like that tie-in. I hated the Monster Man story, but I like the idea here that those were the buildings that were going to be built then through the years leading up to that. Though they said that the new 52 only lasted a couple months, Eric, so I don't know how they built it that fast. Possibly Atlantean technology.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what we go with every time. But yeah, and even when Alfred comes over before he's Mr. Loose Lips, you do see a cool shout out that his access level to the Bat computer is the highest, which I do like. And I mean, I'm expecting that might be the highest even Batman himself, because he really does trust him. Though I love that it says Alfred Pennyworth caretaker. To me, it's like that is such shade thrown at him. Bruce is, because you have to think that Bruce typed these things in. At one point, he had to take some time off and type all this shit into the back computer. He's like, what should I say? Should I put, butler? Should I put father?
Alfred Pennyworth, British. Access high, yeah. Access level
yeah.
highest.
British, that's it. Alfred Pennyworth, old man. But yeah, I do like that. They mentioned the bat bunkers, which I do think ties into that Monster Men story. But that's where Vicki Vale comes. And again, like I said, I love that heads up comes to tell us. But you get the idea that Bruce is faking the funk with everybody here. It makes me laugh so much. But she wants Bruce to be introduced to Lincoln March, who's going to be running for mayor. And it says, COO March Venture, current Gotham City mayoral candidate. And you said right away, he looks like Superman. He looks so much like Superman.
The whole connection we'll have later on with him possibly being the brother of Bruce Wayne.
Yep.
It's just that it plays in the whole thing of always people bitching about, Batman. Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent look so much alike.
Yeah.
And then if with this whole connection we might have, he looks just like Superman to me. And I thought it was funny as hell.
Yeah, it was. And Lincoln March is very impressed with Bruce. And yes, that is a square chin. And they really focus on the eyes at parts to make sure you realize, like, their eyes are exact and things like that. Lincoln March has put a lot of money in the city as well on his, on his upswing to run for mayor. And there's the thing. He says, hey, you were dealing with Leslie Tompkins. You got her, gave her money for the clinic. Anybody who's a friend with Leslie Tompkins is a friend of mine. I like that call out there as well.
Yeah. Going through this, we find out about Lincoln March, and going into this, you obviously know who Lincoln March is, but I'm like, I want to think about, if I would have read this at the time, because you get this new character thrown in who wants to be close to Bruce Wayne. I'm like, would I have thought right away, just the way comic books work? I'm like, you got to imagine everybody thought, okay, he's the bad guy coming up.
Yep. Yeah. You have to think at least that, or because the way he looks, what he's doing, that at least as he goes on, and then later in this, and even what we're going to talk about today, he ends up having a very similar backstory to Bruce.
Oh, yeah.
And basically, when I first read it, my whole thing was just, this was a guy who was obsessed with Bruce Wayne, wanted to become Bruce Wayne. I thought that he set everything up to be like Bruce Wayne and eventually was going to get too close to finding out he was Batman, and then they'd have to do something.
It's almost like a different play on the character Rat, whose parents were gunned down the same night by police, though, and he went a different route than Batman and became anti-Batman.
That's what I thought was going to happen, and eventually even possibly Lincoln March finding out Batman and being upset that that's not how it should be, things like that. I really did think that's where they were going with, but you kind of get some craziness coming up because we find out later he's not good. But that I love this part too because he sees Gordon and Lincoln March is talking. He's schmoozing.
He wants to get a meeting.
He wants to have a meeting. His big thing is he really, again, this is why I thought, boy, he is creepy as hell, because it's like, really, he's not interested in money at any point. He just is so big on if Bruce is going to vote for him. That's like that acceptance of Bruce Wayne is what he just needs. And it just creeped me out a bit. But as this is going on, Gordon kind of pulls away. He's on the phone. And I love Bruce. He's like, he has to say lip read go. But he can't just say it. Sorry, go on. And then he's not paying attention to anything Lincoln's saying. He's lip reading the whole heads up. Again, a great device for this. And he sees that shit is freaking crazy. There's crazy stab wounds. Gordon tries to make a thing. He's talking to Bullock, and he's talking about, like, how many stab wounds? Oh, God. All right, I'll be right down. Just give me 10 minutes to escape from the planet of the crepes. Bullock is such an everyman. He's like, crepe? What the fuck is a crepe, Gordon? Crepe? It's a pen. Never mind. It's like, it's the worst joke. But then Lincoln's like, hey, Bruce, I'm talking to you. Bruce freaking just, hey, we'll set up a meeting. I'll talk to you. Let's go. And he goes off to meet up. It meets up with Bullock about this whole deal. And it basically is a guy who is a John Doe. He says he had an identity, but that was false. He's there. And this guy is fucking just got tons. This is very similar to what we're doing now with the League of Shadows, with the swords.
Like, Mayor Haiti.
Yeah, like Mayor Haiti, who's mentioned in here. That's who Lincoln March is going against, is Mayor Haiti. But he's got just these knives in there and just stabbed all over and look like Bullock says, listen, now it's weird because Bullock really is spelling out a lot without any sort of, I don't know where he gets the knowledge that, like, man, it looks like it missed everything. This guy was being tortured for a while. But they end up taking DNA from under there, and also there's some linseed oil on the wall.
On the wall.
And even Batman gets one of the knives. It has an owl on it. I'll even go with that. He has the owl knife, and it kind of starts with the Court of the Owls deal right there. But he smells linseed oil. He asked Bullock, hey, can I have that cigar? And he I'm thinking he's now lit a whole block of apartments on fire because this guy ended up writing on the wall in linseed oil, Bruce Wayne will die tomorrow. And, it's in flames. And I'm telling you, they better get the fuck out of there. I don't know. Somebody can tell me linseed oil will just burn off. But there's also a wall behind it. I think there's trouble. But, Bullock's like, oh, I guess that guy was no Nostradamus because he died, he died a couple weeks ago. He wasn't found until today when they went to collect the rent.
I love this call out and how everything is so thought out on how everything's going to play out. This whole detective angle of Batman.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I get mad about.
This is exactly what we've been talking about, especially with Batman has not had a really proper detective story in a long time, except for something that leads to point A to point B to point C.
Yeah, to point A to point B, yeah. This is the guy who wrote, Bruce Wayne will die tomorrow. Seems to have written that. It was funny though. Later, Bullock's like, man, he was dying and did that. I don't think he was doing that while he was dying. I mean, he knew that they were coming for him and left that message and then ended up getting killed. And they just stuck him like a pig. But that's where Batman says, no. I think that he did this knowing they were going to find his body now. So this was a guy who knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to die and wanted to leave a message that nobody would find except Batman, it seems. I mean, who else would have come through this? But Batman spells it all out. This is tomorrow. This is the next day now is what this guy means. And Bullock's
because
just
he knew his landlord would come for the rent and find him dead, like on the second of the month or some shit. And they would the police would be then called. And then the whole thing is, I guess it would be the third of the month. When Bruce Wayne is supposed to die.
And you have to get then, as this goes forward and you realize what's going in, that this guy ends up, he knew the plan. So this was planned for the third. They must have found out that he knew and had to get rid of him, whatever the case may be. But I think he's dead because of them going to get Bruce, and maybe they thought he was going to warn him. And he does warn him here. In the meantime, though, it really does point to the Court of the Owls throughout this. And like the League of Shadows in the Rebirth, Batman he keeps denying. He'll deny that it's not the Court of the Owls, though I think it's a little, it's better played out in this than it was.
Well, it is right away because we haven't seen this before. We had this whole idea, when we go to the League of Shadows, a couple weeks ago throughout that last arc of Detective Comics, it was very similar to the Court of the Owls, and the whole idea is we had this thing here where it was the Court of the Owls, where Batman denied it up and down. This is not a real thing. Then found out he was wrong. We have it again with the League of Shadows.
That was the problem. And
when
we were talking about it on the podcast, if people were listening to our main podcast talking about Batman in Detective Comics, this was, that's what made us mad. We're like, you already were proven wrong once. Don't go with that anymore. You got to look into this. But it ended up being brainwashing, Eric. But in the meantime, he did see the magical brainwashing. He ended up figuring that the guy who was pinned, he had some, tissue under his fingernails. He had defensive deal where you get that. And that's a big thing in CSI. I watch CSI occasionally, Eric. But he sends it back to the lab. He sends that. And they check for the DNA. And the DNA comes back, Alfred says, a perfect match for Dick Grayson. And that's crazy. And
that is a cool goddamn cliffhanger.
Yeah, and that was the cliffhanger of the first issue. And I'm telling you, that's a hell of a first issue. It really is. I mean, this keeps going. And it's really good as it goes. But Jesus Christ, it came out of the fucking gates swinging. Like, he was on his game there. It starts off then.
You gave us a shit ton of villains, a fucking detective Batman. You got us all the Bat family we wanted to see back together and shit like that.
Except
and,
Jason.
You have this great thing that leads into a new mission. I'm like, God damn, come on.
Again, there's a one-shot, and it's not a one-shot, it continues, but there's a one issue where you had fan service, but it was involved in a full story. And I loved it. And it served its purpose. Everything seems to serve its purpose. I thought it was great. But yeah, you go off then, and it starts off then after that, where you have this huge cliffhanger. Oh my God, you know, Dick Grayson, could he be the killer? And, you know, you have no idea. And you go off then to the next part where it's describing the Gotham Tower. The original Wayne Tower. And it's all about his great-grandfather, Alan Wayne, how he was the one who he designed this. He designed a lot of the buildings in the skyline. And to me, this new buildings that Bruce is going to build now is kind of very reminiscent of what his great-grandfather, Alan, did back in the 1800s when he built the skyline then. And there's a big thing where, in particular, there's a lot of – he calls them guardians, but they are gargoyles. They're gargoyles. Alan called them guardians, that they're around the city and the buildings, and they guard. They're guardians guarding all the different – the railways, the tunnels, things like that, and the streets. And it's all a setup because as you go, all of a sudden, there's Bruce getting kicked out of the and falling to his death. He's falling from the tower to his death, and he has those same knives in him that guy was stuck with, and he spells it out. As he's going, he's just, you know, talking to us that, yeah, I'm in trouble. This guy, my great-grandfather made Wayne Tower. You were allowed to go up there, but the glass was unbreakable unless you kind of knew how to do it. So this guy's pretty smart, whoever it was who did this, but also cool, stuck him with open. Things. He can't grab. He can't do things. He can't just grab onto a gargoyle as going out. In the meantime, there is this extra gargoyle that's on the one floor that he does end up saving himself. But you don't get that at this moment.
And actually, even that moment I found a little odd to begin with is. Because from what, like, we were described all the different gargoyles, like there's the ones for friggin', you know, for the, like, the different bridges and tunnels coming in, and then for the railways and shit like that. And then when we get to this whole thing where we have this one gargoyle that nobody can see that was
except
put on
from the
later.
Air. Yeah.
It was meant for people coming in through air and shit
now, again,
like that.
Here's the thing. The only thing that I really, really like about that is because that was done by his grandfather.
Yeah.
Because there were no airplanes when Alan was around. There was no airplane. So when airplanes started becoming a thing, they, you know, all of a sudden they have shit coming in. Then he
The only thing I had a problem with, though, with this whole aspect was but the way it was described, like, I understood it because he's talking about how he can't grab a hold of these ones because he'll reach maximum velocity and he'll rip his goddamn arm off trying to grab a hold of this thing. And, like, when he was falling throughout, you know, he had the talon going down after him. It really seemed like, for some reason, it doesn't make sense. Like, you described it to me. I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but it's not a very good progression.
Exactly. It seems like this, like, gargoyle would have been further down, and when he grabbed a hold of it, like, it would have ripped his goddamn arm off anyway. Yeah. So, like, it was a weird thing, but, like, you described to me, it was put in, it's for air, so obviously it's higher, just people
can't
see it.
Yeah, it's higher, and
so,
it's a weird where you can't see it from the ground. He's just explaining it. But the other thing that I think that it's spelling out for later, it's not just to show you what he's grabbing, but it's also going to show out later that, you know, Bruce is really into – he seems to be really into these things, and he seems to be into his, you know, his family's history and things
like
that.
He knows everything.
Yes. The problem is he has neglected to realize that everywhere these things are, there's also a million fucking owls everywhere around the city. Like, he's thinking these guardians are these gargoyles, when in fact there's also these other ominous things almost on every single building that actually just – I really at this one point in this trade – there's an M. Night Shyamalan moment for Bruce, even at the end of what we're going to talk about, where he realizes that he's been duped and he hasn't looked into things. Like, he's so into what his family has done and all this that he has let slip a thing that really has been controlling the city. And I will say, a lot of people...
It's one of those, like, you can't see the forest for the trees in this whole thing because, like, you know, he went...
He even says he went and investigated
all this shit. For all these years, they started when he was a child. It was his first detective case, but he came up empty-handed. He looked into it periodically throughout, but the thing that I don't think he ever really looked into was the idea that it was all connected to the Waynes. Like,
yeah, that it was connected. Yeah, he was looking on the outside, and later, when we get near the end of what we're going to talk about today, Lincoln March is the first one who really puts things in perspective to him when he describes what happened to his boys' home he was in. And I think it was really well played out. But yeah, at this point, Bruce is still in the mode of – the Court of the Owls, because we didn't even really say, because it does come into play a lot in this, the Court of the Owls are a child's fairy tale rhyme.
Nursery
rhyme that the people in Gotham all said as kids. And, you know, it's almost like Ring Around the Rosie. And where it's going, it's very much like Ring Around the Rosie. Because, yeah, that's what I'm saying. At the point where you get it disassociated with what it actually was about, it's just a fun little rhyme. This is just like that, where when it turns around, it really is a warning. It's not just to scare kids to go to bed.
I always laugh too. All the time, yeah. Ruling Gotham from a shadow perch behind granite and lime. They watch you as at your hearth. They'll watch you in your bed. Speak not a whispered word of them, or they'll send the talon for your head.
Yeah, and the thing that I always love, when and Scott Snyder does it here too. It's like they always throw these things out there, and then they give up. That's just a nursery rhyme to make kids go to bed. Who the fuck is going to bed after that? I'm not going to bed. I'll be fucking looking everywhere for this goddamn talon.
It reminds me of the Pumpkinhead rhyme from the goddamn thing. I'm like, that's terrifying too. Why would these people have this goddamn nursery rhyme?
It also reminds me of this, Eric. 3 more days to Halloween. Silver shamrock. But yeah, it scares the shit out of me. There's no way I'm going to bed after hearing that. I can see, though, it's like, you better go to bed or the talon will have your head. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Mom. But yeah, in the meantime there, Bruce is falling to his death, and they go off to 24 hours earlier, and you have this little, you know, it's Bruce in detective mode, and it's detective mode / badass action hero. And I know people like different things. People like things that I don't like, and I like things that they don't like, whatever. This is the Batman I love. I love the Batman who is kicking complete ass, but in the meantime, there's a purpose, and he's doing things to try to figure stuff out. And I really, really like it. In the meantime, he's there, and it's a cool action scene where the people, they've stolen these statues. They're going, he's chasing them down, and you know, there's a whole thing with it. They have these statues in the helicopter, so it gets it down. It's just pure action here. In the meantime, though, you have the autopsies going on with Gordon is checking out the autopsy of the guy who had died. And that's where Bruce goes back to the... Actually, is he back in the cave, or is he just... I guess he's back in the cave, right, at this point?
Who's that? I'm sorry. What's that?
Batman. He's in the cave when he goes to the board. It's weird because at first when I saw it, I thought he was doing this while still in the... Like, he was on a motorcycle. I'm like, did he go on the Batmobile then? But he's in the cave, and he has the setup tech.
Because, like, while you were talking there, I'm sorry, I was looking through the whole thing, because I did have a little bit of a problem with this whole setup, because I thought it was badass, like him stopping the guys in the helicopter.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was badass.
But I thought the progression of panels and shit like that was kind of confusing, because I'm looking at it again now, and I'm like, okay, I guess I could see what was happening, because...
Did you think at one point it looks like he was grabbing him out of a train?
No, because the helicopter's going right next to the rail. But the whole thing is there is a train coming.
Yeah, there's a train coming.
Then looks like he jumps through the goddamn helicopter like thing, but he's on top of the train at this point. I'm like, I didn't see that progression at first. Yeah, I thought it was a little odd because in my mind, he's now riding towards the helicopter that's hovering over the track. The train's coming behind him, and I thought, okay, he jumped through the helicopter, but why didn't that train cream into them and show
that? Yeah, it's weird.
He
grabs the guy out of the helicopter that does look like a train suddenly, just because it's a close up, but then it pulls out. It's actually the helicopter. He rides up and then uses the like the speed racer jump up onto the top of the train, and it's not well laid out. I agree with you.
Now that I realize what happens, though, I'm like, all right.
It's just pure action deal. Yeah, and it's just pure action deal. And I think, again, like I said, I love the detective deal. I also love the badass Batman. And I love that Scott Snyder's like, don't worry, we're going to have some badass scenes as well. Batman.
We had this Court of the Owls mystery, but he's, you know, shit's still going on in Gotham. Batman's got to be Batman.
And that's what I like about it. He's like, you know, we're still going to have Batman do crazy things, just crimes and things like that. But, you know, while this bigger mystery is going on, but he goes back to the Batcave, like you said, and he has this new thing, this new, it actually scans the morgue, scans the body, gets a virtual body in the Batcave. And it's a cool way that going forward, you don't have to have Batman. It's just an easy way so Batman can do some work and not have to worry about, like, me and you sitting here and going, how did he get in the morgue if it's this hour and he's doing this? It's at any point he can do stuff at the morgue, but from the Batcave. And I liked it. And I liked the way, even though at first I was a little confused.
Yeah.
But it does, it's cool. But they're going and they're trying to figure out what this guy was, this John Doe who died. And they figure out the guy was pretty much, starts off, they think he might have been a boxer. Then, you know, looking at scars, oh, he was a weapons master, maybe a sword play guy. And it goes, he looks like he's a trainer and really ties around that he's a Court of the Owls, you know, fucking weapons type guy, weapons trainer, all that sort of thing. In the meantime, the big thing as they go, they find that he has a tooth that has the Court of the Owls or an owl symbol on it. And that matches the knives that he was stuck. Yeah. So basically you have to think, okay, somebody killed him, whatever that is, if it is, and it's that we said it, you already said the nursery rhyme. And that's where Gordon's even like, oh, it's like that nursery rhyme. And he starts it and Batman's like, you know what? I've heard it all, you know, just stop it. And again, when we went to that League of Shadows, we kept saying, God damn it, it's just like this. I like, everybody keeps saying it. It's not, but Batman does finish. And he's like, I've fucking had enough of this. I don't need to hear this anymore. And I'm like, I'm with you, because it did remind me of, you know, the repeat and stuff like that. But I did like it.
With Tom King late with Batman with the whole repeating kind of thing. You know, this thing they want to, like, this is a new concept. They want to throw it at you because it's something that we're going to be dealing with.
Yes.
Like, this Court of the Owls nursery rhyme, it's been in everybody's, so, like, you know, subconscious their entire lives, and for hundreds of years now.
And I love it,
though. You want to keep throwing it out there so people really understand,
how old
this thing is and how important it is to everyone.
In this, you also get the idea, too, that Batman's already irritated with it. He's already like, listen, I know the nursery rhyme, Jim, but the Court of Owls is just a legend. He just, like, because later we find out that he really did spend a lot of time looking into the Court of Owls, and he couldn't find anything about it. So when they're saying it,
you said it before, though, with the whole Ring of Brothers. Can you imagine there's, like, we have a new character called the Plague, right?
He's the bad guy.
And everybody, that's kind of like that nursery rhyme. Everybody starts doing ring around the rosy over and over again. Like, that'd be so weird.
Pocket full of posies. Like, just shut up.
Shut up.
But yeah, he, at this point, I like that he sets it up that he is irritated. And it's not just irritated like me and you, like, God damn it, they keep wanting to repeat this. He's irritated because it's just the evidence that is being thrown at him right now, and this nursery rhyme that keeps going, is going fully against something that he had already looked into and couldn't find. So it's now, I think that at this moment, when he sees this molar and he's looking at the knife again, I think that that is when the moment he's like, I fucked up. I think something's up here. I better fucking figure this out. And he's, you know, going. And I like that. Well,
even like, it's the thing too. It's like, you know, where you have the whole idea, like, we're going to keep talking about the League of Shadows just because it is very similar.
Yeah.
But like the League of Shadows, like we talked about, yes, it was a made up thing. Somebody is acting on this now. And the way it seems right now, Batman's idea is that we have this Court of the Owls. It's not real. Somebody wants him to think it is, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So he's just trying to figure it out. Gordon does mention, hey, it mentioned you get that DNA from under the fingernails. Did that come back? And obviously we know that it came back as Dick Grayson. He's like, nope. And it's funny because you know that they probably looked at, there was more than just that little DNA, and they looked into it and it's spelled out where Dick Grayson comes in then. And
I love Dick that says, spell, because it was bothering me for a bit, because I'm telling you, Batman did not take all the evidence from this crime scene. The police need to have it. The whole idea where, like, we come in and we find out that Batman has all of the Bat family's DNA protected.
It's protected.
I'm like, I like that a lot.
Yep. I thought that was a great. Again, this is where I talk about when the story's going and things are, they make sense. They're thought ahead. The story isn't just, it does, just doesn't seem like,
because
it's just being made as you're right.
The vigilantes of Gotham, they bleed a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, their DNA is all over fucking Gotham and shit like that. So you need to have this idea where it is protected in case like this does happen.
Even just that, you have a freaking, there it is, the son of, you know, the adopted son of Bruce Wayne gets shot as the police are coming by. Not even by the police, but they see, and they pick up the blood, and it traces to Dick Grayson. The jig is up, Eric. Everybody is exposed then. There's no way. So, yeah, it's protected to save save Nightwing. It's also protected, you know, it's protecting Bruce as well for him to maintain his identity. And it makes complete sense. And I love that it's called out. In the meantime, that's where Batman's like, you know what? Your DNA was on this guy's fucking fingernails. What the fuck happened? And Dick does explain, oh, this guy came out. I did see him after our gala. He came out. He grabbed me by the arm. He's like, they're going to be after you. Oh, my God. I didn't really think anything of it, but he did scratch me.
Gala, not the one they were at before.
Yeah, and he's like, he did scratch me. And he says then, I have the scratch marks. You want to see? And it's great because Batman's like, no, no, I don't need to do that. And Dick calls him out. He's like, you fucking saw the surveillance. You know exactly what happened. You were just seeing if I was going to tell you the fucking truth, you son of a bitch.
I like it too because, hey, I got the scratch mark. It's almost like a defensive thing where, you know, you want to see what I'm telling you. You know I'm not lying? Yeah. No, because I've already made sure before I asked you that you weren't lying because I love your security. It's such a Batman thing to do.
It's a Batman thing. Again.
Because at first you almost get the idea – no, Dick, I believe you. You're like a son to me. Yeah. Why would you?
I've already
looked into it.
And he was checking to see if he was telling the truth. And again, if you want to go through this whole thing through the New 52, that is a Scott Snyder thing that really, to me, it does continue, but it really hits ahead during the death of the family, where they realize that Bruce is not letting him in on a lot of stuff, and he's, you know, really to himself, and he's really not involving the family, and in fact, putting them at risk by not telling them a lot of shit going on. And I do like that. And really, this is a Dick Batman, you know, an asshole Batman. It's kind of the Batman I like. I don't like this.
The Batman I like as well. Yeah, the one that's why, always prepared and always has a contingency.
Yes, and again, as this rebirth goes on, we're being led to believe we're going to get a Batman who's questioning if he wants to be Batman because his dad said don't be Batman or whatever. That's not interesting to me. Yeah, I'm interested in the Batman who actually goes and looks into Dick Grayson's fucking story here before he even asks them, and then asks them anyway to see if he'll lie and see what he's going to say just to test him. I like that Batman.
Me
that's
too.
A fucking dick-ass Batman. But yeah.
I based my life on shit like that.
Yeah, really. Well, then the issue kind of ends where...
Oh, hold on. Before you do that, I just want to say something very controversial here because I know there's like... I'm in the minority with this whole thing. This like redesigned Greg Capullo Nightwing costume, it's my favorite goddamn Nightwing. The red freaking whole thing. I love this and I miss it so much. I wish we could get back to it.
I'm trying to get back to the part we never will. Yeah, you know what? It looks fucking good. It works so well.
When we first started the site, somebody had that picture up with all the Robins together.
Man.
And this the whole red like motif that they all had, like Red Robin, the red Nightwing costume, red hood, and even the red like, you know, shirt on Damian. Like it all works together so well. This is the Robin like, you know, family right here. And I'm like, him having the blue now, I'm like, you just stand out now, and you like one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. I like the costume too. I do like at the end, the scene ends then with basically Dick saying, you know, hey, you know what, you know, enjoy yourself because boy, John Doe's Flaming Note has anything to do with it, you only got 12 hours to live, and starts chuckling because you think like, yeah, it's Batman, he's not going to die, but boy, shit goes wrong. Dick is pretty right on the money there because you go to Old Wayne Tower and that's the meeting where Bruce has set it up, a meeting with Lincoln. That's the meeting that they were set up. Bruce basically seems to think Lincoln just wants money. He already starts writing a check.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, is this number look satisfactory? And he's like, no, I'm not here for money, though I will take it. And then he says,
I've got here for money, Bruce.
Yeah,
What's
he's like,
on?
I, you know, I'm not going to pass up money, but hey, Mayor Haiti, and that's where you get that call. Mayor Haiti's been, has about 10 lines of credit running at all times from sources that are questionable at best. But they're talking, and this is more about Lincoln getting a little more creepy in my mind, but also setting up that he wants to be best friends with Bruce.
He seems like on the up and up, though,
he
from
does.
Everything he's saying.
And especially because of
where... on the up and up.
That's the problem. And again, maybe reading this again, I really am trying to think back at when I first read it, if I thought that he was creepy, because the problem is, going into this, because Scott Snyder has made this whole thing about Bruce Wayne wanting this new Gotham is, and all this stuff is going to be new and fresh and all this, you do get the idea that, okay, this is a guy that maybe this will be his second Gordon. This will be the mayor that he can rely on and the mayor who's going to do good. Now, again, you're a mayor who wants to do good in Gotham. You are bound to be dead within the week. And
oh,
basically,
Mayor Haiti, we hardly knew you.
Yeah, and what happened? Why did Mayor Haiti did he get killed, or when he did get killed, was right when he decided he was going to be a good guy. He decided, hey, you know what? I've done a lot of shitty things. I've been a fucked up guy. I want a legacy. I want to be good. Die the next day. It's crazy. But yeah, this is where Lincoln starts talking to Bruce. And again, if you want to go into it where you're going to get, you're a cynical guy and you're suspicious, he basically tells him that he had the same pretty much upbringing. You know what, Bruce? My parents died too. That was by a drunk driver. And it all has to do, like the pearls, Eric.
Exactly.
His whole thing was he had made this heart pin, little heart pin for his mom. And his mom ended up putting it on her fancy dress, and it was lopsided. And he's like, you know, the whole thing is like she was wearing this ugly pin of mine on this thing. And when the crash happened, they got hit by a drunk driver. All he saw was that pin lying there, and he just wanted somebody to pick it up. And I think that was a very, very well written, very powerful thing about a little kid. You just imagine the little kid there, and all he sees is that pin that was like, that's the last thing he'll ever have of his mom's, and it's just laying there. He wants somebody to pick it up, just like the pearl. And you know that this is affecting Bruce, whether or not he believes any of this or whatnot, but you know it's got to be something that, you know, goes with him later on. But in the meantime,
the heartstrings are bad because he can completely relate with what fucking Lincoln's talking about.
And yeah, and he says, listen, you know, I need an ally. He wants a friend. I want an ally, especially now. And that's what Bruce is like, especially now. Why? What are you talking about? And he never gets to tell him at this point, because the guard that was at the door,
something
he gets
bad
fucking
has come back to Gotham.
And goddamn it, fucking Italian walks in. And I'm telling you, when I read this, and even going on forward from ever, because Gilliam March ended up doing the Talon book,
so cool.
But this... The Talon design to me is still one of the coolest things that we ever got of the New 52. You were talking about the Dick Grayson Nightwing costume.
Yeah.
This Talon costume and how they look and how fucking badass they are. Probably one of my favorite characters in, you know, just in general. I'm not saying like I like the, you'll get all this in the Talon book and later even in the We Are Robin, you get a bunch of different Talons and stuff like that.
You
but just in general.
Shit like that, Calvin Rhodes.
Yeah, just
Cotter,
in general, I just love the idea of the Talons. I love that they are badass, because also you have to have this where you have a Batman book where Batman, we've seen, he's kick ass. He's a fucking action star who can just go
Batman
to town. You need a big threat. You need something that is going to be, you know, to him, because even at a point he still thinks when, Court of the Owls, even later, he's like, I don't need protection, things like that, but it's badass. And this guy comes out and Bruce goes, and I really like as well where Bruce is thinking to himself, like, God damn it, there's cameras here. I know there are, because he fucking videos everything. And he's like, I can't fight this guy the way I should, because they'll see, they'll connect things. They'll be like, Bruce Wayne, how is he doing this shit? So he's trying to not fight fully. He has to, though, because this Talon is way beyond anything he could have imagined it would be. At
well,
one
it's
point,
like there's one thing, like, it doesn't make sense. It only takes 11 pounds of pressure to collapse a windpipe. I'm applying over 100, and he's still not flinching.
Yeah,
like,
he's not
damn.
Even flinching. Yeah, this, and then he says, when he says that, he's like, playtime's over. And this is, he's already getting beat up, and the Talon is just leading him towards the window, which we saw at the beginning of the whole scene at the beginning of this issue, but in the trade, you know what I'm saying, when he was falling to his death. But then he says he thinks that this guy must be on some sort of venom. Something
possibly
is venom, making him stronger. And then you get the big thing that is going to drive pretty much the rest of this, is he says, Bruce Wayne, the Court of the Owls has sentenced you to die. And that starts, because then he continues on, because the Talon is so badass that he kicks Bruce out of the goddamn window of Wayne Tower and then jumps after him just to make sure. I mean, this is a Talon suicidal mission, except Talons can't commit suicide, Eric. They're not going to die. So he is beating the shit out of Bruce as he's going down. And Bruce is talking at this point about all the different things about, you know, we've already seen the gargoyles and stuff. And that's when he points out that other one. But as they're falling, the next big thing is when the Talon says, how I love killing Waynes. And Bruce obviously hears that it's right next to him. And this is what's going to drive the, you know, the thing going forward. Because then he realizes there's this other gargoyle. You do see where he grabs onto it. It's on the corner of the one page. But really, at this point,
the Talon's reflection of his goggles.
Yeah, yeah. And he may not be at terminal velocity, see. But that's also the other thing where this Talon knows that he hasn't done his job, because there's Bruce looking down. He's got the shit stuck in him, the knives and things. He's all bloody. The Talon goes freaking Lethal Weapon-like and slams into the top of a car, and you think he's dead. And you think that it's badass. Like, Jesus Christ, this thing was so bad that it was just, that was his one mission. He was going to do it, and he was going to be, you know, he's going to die. But even now, it seems like Bruce still thinks that this guy's just playing with shit, yeah, with being, you know, oh, they're just, you know, invoking the name of these things, but look what it got him.
And even that whole thing with the Love to Kill Waynes, when he goes and asks Alfred, yeah, you know, there's been no freaking mention, nope, of any Waynes besides my parents having a gruesome end like this. So I, yeah, what he's talking about, he's just trying to fuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. And as this part ends, they get, you know, they call the ambulance. They're going to take the body of the Talon to the coroner. And he, Jason Voorhees, Eric, he wakes up, kills everybody in.
And more of a Michael
off.
Myers in my mind.
Yeah,
Jim.
It, wasn't there? Well, wasn't there one where you said that there was a similar scene where they were driving somewhere and he almost disguised himself as one of the ambulance workers? Wasn't that one
of
the movies?
That was the retroactive for like the ending, the H2O that they told you in the next Halloween
Resurrection. So it was Michael Myers then. I knew there was one of those. Yeah, I listened to you. I just can't remember which when you say that. But yeah, you go that. So that, again, that was the end of that second issue. It's a huge cliffhanger where you had this guy who you don't really know what it is. You assume it's a Talon by that point because of that nursery rhyme and things like that. But even so, they tried to kill Bruce and then ended up pretty much coming back from the dead. You don't survive. Yeah. And I think that was the other thing where Bruce had to spell it out. Like, at this point, if I grabbed on anything, I mean, he's really spelling out that nobody's surviving if you keep falling. He survives. He just gets up. Michael Myers, Erica. See, I knew it. Michael Myers. I said it all along.
This is more like a Halloween 4, though, to me, the way this is.
Halloween 4, huh? Well, what is the next one? Because we go back in time then to 1922, where you have Alan Wayne, who is insane. He's running around. He is an older guy. You get the idea that at this point he has had some problems up until now, and he's kind
That's
of away
the thing
from
that. I don't know if he has had problems, because he goes on and talks about these things. I think everybody, like, they talk about senility and dementia and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I think it's more, he knows more what's going on than anybody else.
Yeah, well,
like,
here's
all
the
stuff
thing.
He's talking
this,
about, everybody sees his.
The reason why I think that, I'm not saying just, I'm saying that he's a very old man now. And even to the point where you heard where he was building Gotham stuff and all, now we're at 1922. He is an older man.
Yeah, Gotham,
the thing that I get.
The Wayne Tower was built in 1888,
yes,
I think
yes,
it was.
So the thing that I'm going with is he's running through the town, it almost like, you know, Tracy Morgan at the beginning of 30 Rock, which was, what's his name from Bad Boys? That was with Will Smith. What's the actor's
name?
Martin Lawrence. Where he was running through fucking L.A. with a goddamn in underwear. It's very much like that. And he's like, help, please, please. Going. And where I'm going is a younger cop that seems to be just new on the beat doesn't even recognize him. And he's like, hey, pal, what are you doing? You can't do that. And then the other cop comes up. Don't you recognize him? It's Alan Wayne, the guy that built half the city. Jeez. And he's like, get him a blanket or whatever. And this young cop, even to this point, is just like, so what should we do with him? Should we call the paddy wagon? No. You can't do this shit. This is the guy. This is Gotham City, you motherfucker. You're a young guy. You don't understand. This is Alan Wayne. So that's why I think that it is spelling out, like, he has been away from, you know, Bruce's grandfather at this point, to me,
it's
is the
Howard
Wayne.
At this point.
Yeah, the Wayne running the shit is the grandfather now, not the great-grandfather. The great-grandfather, to me, is just in this thing, and we find out later, probably boarding himself up everywhere he goes and thinks that the owls are after him. But he's just yelling, and he falls down in a manhole, which we find out later that was his death. He drowned to death in the sewer in that manhole, and that's crazy because it just starts there. Well, this is where you have Bruce, and now Bruce is on the case. This is Bruce. This is really the badass detective, because he's going down into the railway lines because he thinks that this Talon got into town. There's no way he could have gotten into town without him knowing, unless he came through
entrance.
The railways, and the railways are protected by five gangs. I think it's five that they all, and he's gone and talked to everyone. But now he's going to talk to the Whisper Gang. And it's funny because recently in the Rebirth, we just saw the Whisper Gang.
Trying to get some of Aegis' mythical weapons.
Yeah, trying to get mythical weapons in JLA. So, you know, I guess that was a cool shout-out. But here's the Whisper Gang. A little more deadly here than showing up in that town Penn City or whatever that was. But yeah, they're going, and they're just they're going to town on Batman, and Batman's just fighting him because he wants to know. Well, first he goes to their leader. He goes to I forget what is his name, Volko or something.
Luco
Volk. He goes to him and is like, you know what? There's a guy, you know, going on. I want to know how he got in here, and you know, this Luco, he just fucking starts trash talking because he knows his gang's right behind him, and you see him. They're coming to get him, and then it's a big battle. And
I don't know what it is about the Whisper Gang and shit like that. They always remind me of like the old like axe gangs of fucking, you know, freaking like Wu Tang movies. And
yeah, like the
Wu
Tang stuff, the Axe Clan. Some of them do. I think I see one guy with an axe. Yeah, a couple guys have cleavers, but yeah, they have a bunch of different things, and they're just fighting as a train's coming. And this is where he explains that the Whisper Gang end up getting a metal plate. Fused to, you know, welded to their face for at least a year.
Welded on.
Yeah, for a year they have to wear this without taking it off, and it signifies that they don't, you know, the Whisper Gang don't snitch.
Snitches
they don't
get
talk.
Snitches, not the
yeah,
Whisper
they
Gang,
will.
Though.
So in the meantime,
because that they do, like they have to drink smoothies for a guy.
Oh, I know.
To get
I actually, that's all I kept thinking of.
That's
I'm like,
all
well, it has that hole, but I don't know how well their jaw's gonna move. I'm like, Jesus Christ! And it's funny too because that signifies things, but you have that hole. You could still snitch through that hole, and I'm telling you, it looks like a glory hole to me, Eric. It's a living glory hole. But yeah, the train's coming, and as they're fighting, and this is probably my least favorite progression of panels and art-wise, because at a point, Batman just jumps. They're on separate sides of the train as it comes. You have the gang on one side. Batman looks like he's on the other, and he just flicks this thing onto it, which ends up, you figure out, it magnetizes the train. Now, I'm not going to go into where I would think that that could cause trouble for the train in general, because usually it's a magnetized rail as well, and I don't know how that would affect all the things, or if that's what it's playing on, the magnetized rail going into the train, magnetized, but it ends up slamming all of the I almost called them the Axe Gang,
the
Whisper
gang,
into the side of the train, but as I saw it, it does say clang, clang, clang as they go, but to me, it was a Three Stooges deal where you have, you know, Mo going down and slapping down the line of seven people. But it's them clanging. The best part of this, though, while I don't like the progression, it's a little confusing. It gets rid of all the gang. It's great because now the leader is the only one there. Because
you
the
say
gang.
That, though. I think all this gang are dead now, too.
No, you can say
the
that. But
in my mind, they're fucking getting their arms ripped
but
off.
But it's, like, like Arnold said in Twins, Eric. The pavement was his enemy. The magnetizing killed them. Not Batman. It was the magnet. The magnet was his enemy, is what they said. Batman, I told you, we have talked about Batman killing people in the past, and I think that it's always like, there's a time where I forget what book it was, but he did something and left the person out, like bleeding out, and you're like, Batman doesn't do that, you know, he doesn't leave. And I'm like, no, it's the nature. That's good. Nature is going to kill him, not Batman. But yeah, these guys are probably dead, but it's the magnet. That were their enemy, but yeah, he goes and talks to the guy, and he's just talking about, and he's like, I'm telling you the truth, the best thing of this is after all of this, and after we think these guys are dead, this guy's telling the truth. He doesn't know anything about it. It makes me laugh
so much. But
I tell
the truth. I don't know nothing about this Owlman.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because then he has the heads up, lie detection, assessing truth. And I was thinking, there's a lot of times in this. Like, he should – now, I know you could say that it's a bat suit, but it's his – you know, the contact lens that's doing this. Why isn't he watching and seeing if Lincoln March was actually telling the truth about when he grew up or what he did? You know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of times in this where I think that this truth, you know, this lie detector thing might have come in handy that he didn't access that. So seeing this here, it did throw me off a bit, though. Maybe you can think that he is using it at other points, but there's Batman. Now he's obsessed. He's obsessed with who this is, this Talon, and what's going on, and he's basically, it's funny because I like the way you see the obsession, because he is going with the voice that Bruce Wayne, the Court of the Owls, has sentenced you to die, and he keeps replaying it, and he keeps running it again. It's not, this is like something you're looking for, you know, he knows he's not going to find it.
Yeah.
He's using the same database, but he's so obsessed here. And then he says, you know what, Alfred has a little thing, you know what, bats need sunlight too, you should get out of here, you're obsessed, go. And he's like, no. And then he says, the man who tried to kill me said that he loved killing Waynes. Now, the thing about it where it goes into as well later on when you find out about the Court of the Owls, I like this because it also spells out that the guy he was fighting is very old. It's not a guy who is, you know, 22. He's not – this is – if he – and in fact, what they tried to figure out later, that it was Alan Wayne and this accidental death wasn't quite so accidental. It shows you that this guy was killing somebody in 1922.
It's like I'm telling you, Alfred says no Wayne in the last 50 years has died suspiciously, to my knowledge, other than your parents, of course.
Yeah. Throwing shade there. Batman starts crying. He looks off. The graves are there. But yeah, and he says, whoever this is,
like,
the man.
I know that, but whoever he is, this man wants me to believe that he isn't just a killer, but that he is the actual Talon.
Yep. And then that's where Alfred's like, the Talon from the Court of the Owls folk song. And I'm like, don't thank God. I'm telling you, you only see them looking at the knife. And I'm telling you, the look that Bruce just gave Alfred made Alfred shut his fucking mouth. But yeah, they're talking about that. And they're like, yeah, it's, you know, the folk tale. That in reality some secret group of men has actually been ruling Gotham. I can't believe this. But he's talking about it, and that's where Alfred's looking at the owl signature, or the, you know, insignia on that knife that they found. And I'm telling you, at this point, I know for a fact, when I was reading this, I thought Alfred knew more than he was saying. I thought that this was something that Alfred knew about and was sworn to not say anything. I was all worried that Alfred was bad. And really, if you want to go with it, what Scott Snyder's doing in All-Star Batman now, where you have it looks like Alfred knows what's going on with this killing that was in that. That's actually how I felt in this, because when he looks and he's talking and, you know, stuff, and he's, you know, that's when Bruce says, what do you know about owls? And he starts saying, oh, you know what? They're carnivorous, masters of camouflage, they're natural predators, bats, which is a huge thing. And then, but in relation to your father, I only can think of is irrelevant. And he's like, listen, nothing is irrelevant here. And then that's when you get that Alan Wayne, at the end of his life, he suffered from aggressive senility. And like you said, I don't think that that's the case. He knew shit was going. And he says he was obsessed with owls. He thought they were after him. He kept saying the things that, you know, they're after me, I got to board myself in and stuff.
They're
and he was gripped with the notion that owls were roosting inside his home in the walls. And yeah, it's crazy. And then Bruce like, oh, his death. Oh, no, no. He drowned. He fell in an open sewer. Such a bad death for a guy who was like, he had built Gotham up like that. And the guy died. I'm telling you, this is my only fear, that I'm going to die by falling down the stairs. My pants are going to come off. I'm going to shit myself and land in the shit and then dead. And that's all people like. Not that I have any legacy like an Alan Wayne, but it's like, oh, you know, your dad, he died. Yeah, yeah, he fell down the stairs. His pants came off and he fell in shit. I'm telling you, it does bother me. Or I'll be like one of those guys who the one story that you hear is the one guy or girl, I think it was a guy, who went over the Niagara Falls and survived that, but then like 2 years later slipped on a banana peel and fell and died. Like, I don't want that.
One of those things too. Say I decide to kill myself, I'm going to hang myself, and after I do it, somehow my belt's not attached up and my pants fall down.
The pants fall down.
Erotic asphyxiation.
Well, here's the deal. A lot of times they will go with that because then it's
not. I was ending it on purpose.
I know, but then your family gets your life insurance, because suicide, you don't get insurance, Eric. So at least I know, really. I'm saying that as I'm saying it, I'm thinking to myself, who am I fucking kidding? Life insurance. Just don't hang yourself. Just don't do it. But yeah, that would be the crazy. It'd be like a crazy freaking thing, like a goddamn master of disaster. It's like you go, you slip, the pants come off. Oh, Jesus Christ. But yeah, Batman then goes into the whole deal where he's thinking about the city. He's thinking about all the things that Alan Wayne. Now he's on this. Now the connection, like you said, where I really do think he never thought that it was connected to his family. When he was going to look into the Court of the Owls and figure out and see if it was real, he never took into account that his family might have been the target. Also, at this point, it's almost like, I'm telling you, we keep saying, and I hope that it comes off okay, because we do keep bringing up Rebirth and things like that. It kind of reminds me a bit of Green Arrow right now, where Oliver found out that his dad's involved in the Ninth Circle and the Big Bad, and, you know, it blew his mind because he never would have thought that the bad things that are going on in his life actually were going on. So at this point, I'm not so sure that Batman would think that maybe, you know, Alan knew more, Alan was with them, whatever, but he knows that he was obsessed, so he's thinking about it. And again, it's badass. He's on his glider. Yeah, fuck Kite Man. That's a better glider. He's fucking whizzing around. But he says about how his great-grandfather had built when he built the cities, there were superstitions and things like that. And you can tell the thing that really stuck with him is that Alfred told him that his great-grandfather thought that the owls were in the walls and things like that. And what I like here, he doesn't write it off as just being a crazy man. He's thinking about this and like, you know what? My great-grandfather, Alan Wayne, understood the power of superstition, and he was the first man, one of the first to eliminate the 13th floor of his buildings. And he's like, funny though, you know, you still have that little bit of a room there where
you can't just say, you know, 12, 14. You have to have a bit of a floor there to get like to hold all the bad
shit. Yeah, it holds all the bad shit. So this has obviously triggered something in his mind that he thinks, you know, I got to check these freaking places that my grandfather was at and ended up doing things, and he does. And, yeah, he finds a Talon's lair.
It's funny to me the way he goes about it, though, because he goes to one of the Wayne buildings, and he goes to the 14th floor. I'm like, why wouldn't you just go in the elevator shaft and try to gain access to the 13th floor? That he goes to the 14th floor and cuts a circle in the floor with a laser and then drops down.
Yeah, I'm thinking, what is this guy who lives there? He's going to be all pissed off. But, yeah, but right before then, actually, I was paging through, and I was going, but he actually did go see Lincoln March as well. He went to go see him in the hospital. And this is also where Lincoln March tells him, you know, this is fucked up. This is the owls. I really do, you know, shit's going wrong. There's bad shit going there. You got to, you know, look into it. And then I like the call out, though, because it's almost like when I thought that he was creepy and trying to be like the next Bruce Wayne, Bruce fell. He got knocked out of the window with shit in him. And he's there. And Lincoln's like, I'm eating Jell-O for days. I'm in a hospital bed. You son of a bitch. You make me look horrible. But that's where Bruce is like, you know what? I'm going to support you and things like that. But also says, you know, I don't know this threat. It just doesn't seem right. And, you know, all this stuff. And that's where Lincoln tells him that story about, hey, listen. I was a little boy after my parents died. I lived in this boy's home, and we had these creaky floorboards, and everybody thought, oh, man, they're so annoying. They're so annoying. Nobody looked into it. Finally, this nun looked into it, and she realized it was a sinkhole, and everybody would have died a year later if they didn't look into it. Now, it's a little forced story, I thought, but it basically ends with them saying, listen, you know, sometimes we become so concerned with little dangers that we don't see the big one right beneath our feet. That's all. And then Batman's like, huh, or Bruce is like, huh, I got to go. And that's like, hey, but Bruce actually says, I'm going to get all my guys, every bit of security is going to be on you. I'm going to let them. And he's like, but who's going to be watching you? And it was almost like the Superman Lois Lane. It was. And I'm like, oh, God, you know, Superman gets Lois. Freaking Bruce gets Lincoln March. Jesus Christ. But yeah, that's where he goes and he figures out, hey, you know what? My grandfather said that there was these, you know, 13th floors just a little to get the bad luck or whatever. And he goes and he does find the lair. Bingo, he says. But yeah, it's a pretty badass lair, too. This guy who lives there, that Talon, he likes to just, I don't think he sleeps much because all of his weaponry is on the bed. There's all the things. He sees his Talon costume and all that, sees the picture. And that, I love that picture. That's the picture that ends up being.
I think it might, this is like an ancient Talon costume, too. So I don't even know if this has been in
use that
much.
It might not be the same
Talon that goes out there. But we have Talon like freaking like little like safe houses all over the city for every, like, you know, Wayne Enterprise.
And the weird thing about it is, though, is if you remember, for the most part, you just have one Talon that goes out. They activate. It's almost like Buffy at points. So these might just be that one Talon's all of his. Or if you're just a Talon, you activate, shit goes wrong, you know that there's all these around.
Yeah.
But when he does go and he sees that picture, that is dated, and that's where you're going to see that they are through the time, because you have the June.
I love those owl masks.
That June 1891, and that actually is pretty much the picture that is the cover of the Villains Month Court of the Owls book. That actually, I went to look back, because I was going to say, if it was something important and dealt with a lot of what we're getting at the beginning of this, I was going to suggest we do that as well, and I looked at it. It doesn't. It's completely gone, different. But I love that whole deal with the masks and things like that. I don't know why a secret society like this would ever pose for a picture. But hey, that's just me.
It's just for secret society places.
I know, but it's still, that's like, you don't want to have any evidence of your doings, and you have a picture of you guys just sitting around in masks, but it is awesome. And that's pretty much the first bit that we see of the owls. You see, and that's where Batman's like, listen, Alfred, the fund established in Alan Wayne's in his name, the trust established with architects and things. You need to tell me every building that was connected to that. And as it goes, he goes through, and every building has this 13th
floor. There are nearly 20 buildings in all, roughly one for every decade for the last 150 years.
Yeah, and he goes through, and he finds, you know, and each one gets a little more advanced. You know what I mean? You're going through
more of these, like the newer you're going through updates.
And I'm telling you, the last one is so fucking cool. It pretty much is a bat cave. It really is. You have everything there that would be a bat cave, including I like the command center. I like the dummy that the guy's just throwing the fucking knives at. Yeah. And he goes in and live owls there. The one looks like it's alive looking at him. The thing is, then he sees like a glider thing. He goes, looks at all of his weapons, and then looks and talks about that the owls and the talons, that the owls are in our homes. And he looks, and the last picture is June 2006. And I like it because you have all these owls. You have six owls, three on each side of the town, and the town appears to be throwing out gang signs, Eric. It really did. It reminded me, like, he's now into gangster rap, and he wants to throw signs. I'm telling you, he's there. If this was a motion picture, they'd all be dancing at this time. But, yeah, at this point, he's like, they've been here all the time. They're right under our feet, and he's about to say feet. And he hits a tripwire, and the fucking building explodes. The where he is explodes, where you see the talon
from another building
with the owl down below. He has an owl with him and looks. And yeah, at this point, and this is where we're going to end. We're going to continue next week. But at this point, you have a lot of shit. You know, obviously, we want to see if Bruce survives, which, spoiler alert, he does. Yeah. Yeah. But also, you're going to find out, as this goes, why he really thinks there's no Court of the Owls. That's a big thing. We're going to find out why he is so set against this just being a legend. But now it's done. Now he sees. This is too much. Now he realizes he fucked up and he's got to go. But we're going to find that. We're also going to find out that he's going to look into Alan Wayne's autopsy. He's going to look into – he's going to perform an autopsy. He's going to get his great-grandfather's body.
And there is a problem, though, as we go on. The continuity gets a little wonky from what we established with Alan Wayne's death and what Batman – when he goes down to investigate more things. Like, it kind of does not play out the way it seemed to earlier.
Yes, but that's – he's going to end up – he wants Alfred to dig up Alan Wayne's body, his great grandfather, and he's going to check into what happens.
Great-great-grandfather.
I keep saying it. But yeah, we're going to find out what that happens with that. And then we're also going to see Batman come face-to-face with the Court of the Owls. And I really like – I love this whole story. I also like to go back because people with Rebirth – I think are all, and even at the end of the New 52, it became such a Dick Grayson thing that you didn't get this. The beginning is so good, which leads into the Dick Grayson thing. And also, everybody has to remember, as you're reading this, you kind of forget the whole idea that Dick Grayson's connected because that guy scratched Dick. Yeah. And Dick Grayson is very, very involved in all this as it goes on.
Even like, you know, all the stories that we got after this is more of like a Dick Grayson story.
That's what I'm
overall.
Saying. Yes. This actually, if you want to say that this sets up anything, it does set up it being a Dick Grayson story, especially in the Nightwing book. It comes into play big time after this arc. The second arc, I think it ended up being the second arc of Nightwing, really grabs onto this and explains a lot of things that were going on in that book in with this. And off we go from here. We go to the Night of the Owls. Is it the Night of the Owls, the next trade?
Yeah,
it continues on. But yeah, this beginning is awesome. And I really like it. And this, like I said, I thought that we were going to talk pretty much about these first three issues this ended up being. So that's why I wanted to split it up in two. But I won't give a full out grade until we're done next week. But I will tell you that these three issues are – they're just better than anything I've read in a long while. They really are. And there's a reason why Scott Snyder remained on the Batman book. And the reason why when people look back at the New 52, this is the story that most people grab onto as being the best story in the New 52. It just happened to be the first in the Batman book. So I don't know that that's kind of a shame that it didn't really get topped. And like you said, you were involved, like you were fully into Batman, especially into the death of the family.
Yeah.
And then it gets to zero. Yeah, things do get a little off where people started to bail.
Zero year, I was really about, but once we got to Savage City, I was kind of out. And since that part, you know, everything before Savage City, big fan of.
Yeah, yeah. But boy, this start, awesome. I love it. I really do. And I love the art. I love the writing. Everything about it's so strong. But yeah, that is the end of episode one of the Court of the Owls. Eric, I thank you for coming by. And like I said, we'll be putting this up again. The second part will be in a week from now. We're not going to skip a week before, and then we'll get back to our regular schedule. I just want to say, because we do announce at the end of each what we're going to be doing next. Obviously, we're going to finish this, but then after that, it is volume one of Green Lantern.
Nice.
Which, again, it's one of our favorites. So we're getting a couple in a row that we really, really enjoy. But I hope you enjoy this. You can let us know on Twitter at WeirdScienceDC, or you can email me and yell about Eric at WeirdScienceDCComics@gmail.com. But thanks a lot for listening, and we'll see you next week.